You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
All right, welcome in. We are live. It is Minor Talk presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. Along with me is Sal Montes. I got Alberto Retta live with me. We are live actually at Paddle Club El Paso. That's right. It is their grand opening tournament weekend. We are out here, 1800 Futurity Drive. Actually, it's in Sunland Park, New Mexico, right on the border of El Paso and Sunland Park. Beautiful outdoor facility. It is their grand opening tournament weekend. We've got stickers out here. We've got some food out here. We've got great raffles and giveaways, so come on down, join us, 1800 Futurity Drive. If you're looking to have some fun here, all ages are welcome. It's going on all the way till 10 o'clock tonight, and it is the grand opening weekend of Paddle Club as we get started here on the show. Oh, man, what a terrible loss. I mean, Miners have now dropped three in a row. It's the first time they've done so all season long, and it's just a really, you know, it feels like even though the Miners fought back in the second half, and I know that you heard the comments there from Joe Golding. He was happy with some of that second unit right there. I think the takeaway from this week right here is something what you know, what head coach Joe Golding said. They've got work to do before the CUSA tournament, and he said that twice. You know, he started off and said, you know, it was a tough one. It wasn't pretty on both. You know, the black eye was the free throw line, which, yeah, you look at the free throw numbers, and they were terrible for the Miners side of things. 15 of 29 in this matchup when it was all said and done. And the Miners, yeah, they cut it to single digits, but it was just a little too late when it was all said and done. Jacksonville State, they led big time in to end the first half, 39-29. And they went on a big run to close out that first half, which I felt like buried the Miners in the first half going into the second half. And yeah, head coach Joe Golding says they've got things that they need to figure out. They've got some work to do. And all of this is in anticipation for what's the real, you know, what the real point of this season is. Huntsville, Alabama, playing in the CUSA tournament, going out there and trying to win, you know, three games in 3 days, whatever that looks like, three games in 4 days, in order to actually punch their ticket and head to the NCAA tournament. Those are the expectations this team set upon itself before the season even started. And now the Miners, they're 17-10, they're 7-7 overall in Conference USA play, and they've played bad for about a month now, Alberto. Though, as we get things started here on the show, it's just a tough outing here for the Miners in back-to-back losses, or I should say three straight losses, going into their final home stretch next week.
Yeah, the Miners, they seem to be in decline when you want them to be ramping it up and getting ready for that conference tournament, so that's extremely, extremely disappointing, but I'm not going to sit here and say anything new that hasn't already been said, so I'll just, you know, I look forward to the schedule ahead and what that means for the Miners, and look, they got Western Kentucky, a great Western Kentucky at home, and a great Middle Tennessee game at home. Both of those games are not gimmicks, right? Those are extremely hard games, and then they follow it up with a road trip to Sam Houston, a Sam Houston team that, despite being pretty much dead last or second to last in this conference, they've reeled off some pretty good wins here recently, right? They just got beat by Middle Tennessee by only four, but then before that, they beat Western Kentucky, they beat Kennesaw State, and they also beat Jack State, so that Sam Houston team is not to be messed with, and these last games are going to be crucial for the Miners. They need to pick it up. They need to improve on all sides of the ball, and they need to improve with that free throw. So it's just a lot of negative to improve, and they have the time to do it.
Yeah, they do have the time to do it, but Sal, I'll swing it to you. Time is running out right here, and if you've played bad for a month, well, what does this mean for the next month, where the Miners need to be peaking and need to be playing their best basketball during these last four games?
No, you're absolutely right, man. It's tough right now. There's a million ways to kind of go about that, but I think what you could kind of look at, just in general, across college hoops, but we'll stick with Conference USA in this regard, right, is if you're somewhere, you know, hovering in that middle of the pack range, okay, that yep. gives you an idea of where you're at, you know, in general, but let's look at the last 2 weeks or so and see who's doing a lot better. I mean, hey, New Mexico State's already 8-6 in the conference. They swept their road trip. I mean, these guys were able to get it done. Kennesaw is right above UTEP, who the Miners just lost to. Then the Miners are going to have Middle Tennessee in a bit. But right below them, Louisiana Tech and Western Kentucky, those teams are just chomping at the bit to surpass UTEP. So, yeah, you may be middle of the pack right now, but in a couple of weeks, the way that you're trending, where are you going to be? It could be good or bad depending on who you are And for the Miners right now, if you're UTEP, it's not a good sign at all.
No, no, it isn't. And this is one of those losses that if you're a fan, it makes you feel dejected. It makes you feel like, you know, this is the team that wants you or is a top CUSA right here in Jacksonville State. And the Miners drop both games to them this season. You know, if the Miners end up playing them in the CUSA tournament at any point, that's kind of a worry right there. I know that last year, I guess the recipe or the argument against that is in the regular season, Sam Houston State defeated UTEP twice. And, you know, last season, CUSA tournament, and they were fearless, and they ended up winning that one when it was all said and done. So, you know, it can go both ways. I just, you know, and the cliche three times, but you want to be in the game. You want to actually have a chance, and I felt like despite them coming back late in the game, I don't know, Sal, was it just me, or did it feel like it was over after, you know, like maybe like 2-3 minutes left, or 2-3 minutes to start the second half? And maybe that's unfair by me to say. It just felt like it was over. I didn't like the body language at all from UTEP.
No, it definitely did, and we can kind of point back to the last time that Jax was in El Paso, the last time that they played. It was close, but you saw Jacksonville State run away with it, and that's really what they did today, except they had more control in today's game. So, no, I did. When they were itching back, so to speak, in spurts, it didn't really do too much for me. I think the one point, I don't want to say it completely felt like that all game, but there was a point where they cut it to within two in the first half as a, you know, it was about to get, you know, like 50% or 75% through the first half. That was nice. But after they stretched that lead out to, what was it, 10? I think that's exactly when the game was lost. It didn't matter what they did. That was their comeback moment, not in the final 5 minutes or so of the second half. Yeah.
You're right there, Sal. Our telephone number is 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number to get things started here on Miner Talk. 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter and X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Check us out there. We've got a lot of comments that have come our way already. We'll read all the comments that we see on Twitter and X, so appreciate everybody chiming in there. We also want to mention that we'll be back in action next Thursday. It's UTEP versus Western Kentucky, so Miner Talk, of course, continues for the remainder of the season. But a tough early, you know, a tough afternoon loss here for the Miners. I was going to say early afternoon, but it's a late afternoon loss for them. Now having to come back after losing three straight here to El Paso to try to win, you know, against Western Kentucky, which they lost that game earlier this year on the road. So it's not going to be an easy game whatsoever, you know. And for this one right here, there were some guys who you know, stepped up and had, I guess, good performances. You could look at Otis Frazier III's career high, 25 points. Still like the performance from David Terrell Jr. He had 9 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. The things that you're going to hate, I mean, really across the board, was the free throw shooting. There was really no one outside of Baylor Hebb, which he was 2 for 2, and that was the only way he got points tonight. And, you know, a little bit of Ahmad Bynum, who made a pair of free throws as well. They were 15 of 29 from the free throw line, Alberto. And you got, I mean, when you have those opportunities at the free throw line, at the charity stripe, you heard from head coach Joe Golding, that's the game right there. You know, they make 14 more of those free throws. They win the game. I mean, forget that. They just make a little bit more than half of them, and they're in this game, and maybe even win it when it's all said and done.
Yeah, you know what? The Miners take advantage of those charity points. They call it charity stripe for a reason. If they a little better from there, they're a little more disciplined from that free throw line, that changes the dynamic of the game, hands down, right? You miss 15 free throws, you make just 7 of those, that really changes, well, how you attack the game and how the other team attacks the game as well. You maybe even see them commit more errors as you begin to close the gap. But I'll say this, the Miners didn't look like they had the ability to close the gap, especially in that second quarter. You talked about it. Well, I turned on that game in that second half, and it just didn't look like the Miners had the ability to stop them on defense and score points on offense consistently enough to win the game. And that's when you feel, hey, this game's unwinnable.
Okay, let's go back to Twitter and X here on the program. This is coming in from Pinky, our man. It's great to hear from Pinky. I know, Pinky, you always tweet into the Miner Talk, and for some reason, whenever I start this show, I never find your tweets. And I'm going to blame Elon and not blame you. So I apologize there, Pinky. I'm blaming Elon there for me not being able to see your X post or whatever. This is what Pinky had to say. Miners playing from behind already. Too many subs, way too often. Just let them play. They've lost the fundamentals of the game up to this point. Hashtag Miner Talk. This is coming in from Shannon. Shannon just sent us the crying emoji. He was just super upset. VIP Lounge EP. Way past time to fire Golding. Joe Golding is in way over his head. Let's move on now. Ugh. David Corral Jr., I don't know what's going on, but there's no good chemistry right now with this team. They're playing like a defeated team from the start. I don't see them making a run in the conference tournament. You know, I'll say this, David. I feel like it goes both ways, right? This team can get hot. This team can get streaky. This team could shoot lights out. But now you're seeing what's going on the flip side of that. They're not shooting well. They shot 30% from beyond the arc today. 4 3-pointers. They went 4 for 13 and practically abandoned the 3-point shot in the second half. They were just trying to go to the basket and try to get buckets that way. I know they were trying to shoot their way back into the game, but it's just simply not the case. They haven't gotten to that point right now based on how bad they've been playing from beyond the arc. So I hear what you're saying, David. But I'm just, you know, I'm not there yet completely writing them off making a crazy run in the CUSA tournament, because we've seen this team be streaky before. That's what this team has done in the past. A couple other comments coming in on the program. This is from Trey Politz. This is a sorry-ass team. Don't make another Dimmel mistake and extend this coach. We've seen enough of Golding. He's not it. Please, no extension. This is from UTEP News. Well, Golding, your guys absolutely did not respond. I can't wait to hear the excuses after this game. This is coming in from Chris. Golding played Baylor Heb over Ahmad Bynum, and that's so stupid. This team is getting bounced in round one. Pinky says, I'll be at the next game. Trust me. And then this is coming in from Hunter Pennypacker. He says, no need to put someone in who can actually shoot, a.k.a. Bynum, when besides Frazier, they have zero offense. What a joke of a coach. Man, Golding's really getting the heat after this one here, guys. That's definitely one of the cases here we're seeing as we continue. We got two callers to get to on the program, 915-505-6009. Again, we are live here, Paddle Club, 1800 Futurity Drive. It is a grand opening tournament weekend. Come on out and join us. We'll be here for the big tournament today and tomorrow. So if you're anywhere in the area, stop by, learn the sport of paddle, and check out the great tournament that's going on here. It's the grand opening tournament weekend out here at Paddle Club. Let's go to the phones right now. We got a couple calls to get to, 915-505-6009. We're going to start things off with Jacob first on the phone lines with us. Jacob, good afternoon. Good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, man. Yeah, I just want to, you know, obviously, I mean, they played like crap today and, you know, they didn't hit free throws. They weren't rebounding like it's been like the past few games. I'm kind of going in hindsight now and thinking about, I'm going to talk about the UTEP crowd and games at home that we lost that could have put us in better positions, you know, okay. Especially that one with Jacksonville State and then also with Liberty. I was told to shut up and sit down last week in the third row of the student section, you know, and I think the intensity of the crowd at home. Yeah. Like, oh, and it was by an older lady, you know, it's like, why are you even in the student section? You know, but
are you a student,
like,
Jacob?
I'm sorry.
Are you a student?
I'm not a student, but I'm an alumni, and I've always been a fan since, you know, I was a student since the Filiberto Rivera days, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, I was there when the intensity was there with him and with Randy Culpepper and all those, you know, those teams where the fans were into it. And, you know, nowadays you just see these kids on their phones and not really paying attention. I think we could have taken at least two or three of those games. I mean, the New Mexico State game was a blowout when we had a sold-out crowd, you know. But it's just like, I don't feel the intensity at the Don. And I'm like, you know, I understand, like, it's all about the players and how they play. But we should be able to win some of those games at home. I think we should have taken Jacksonville State. We should have taken Liberty, you know. And I just, like, I'm feeling like the loss of tradition and culture in the team. And I do think it affects the players, you know, like when they go on the road and they don't have that same confidence that they do when they're at home either, you know. So I just wanted to comment on that because I was told to shut up and sit down. I had to, like, move because these people were telling me, like, sit down. Like, and so I just think we need to get that renewed tradition back in the Don, because, honestly, even if we don't have that many fans there, like, we're not being explosive like we used to be, you know, as fans and supporting them. And I think we should have taken at least two or three of those games. I think the fans could have helped out a little bit on those games, too.
Jacob, hey, man, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. You definitely know what you're talking about when it comes to UTEP basketball. I'll say this. You know, as far as those home games, you know, I won't comment too much about the fans. I thought they showed up against Liberty, and they definitely showed up against that New Mexico State team. But the Jacksonville State game, you're exactly right. You hit it on the head there. They should have won that game. It was 73-66, games in the balance there, and about 3 minutes left in that game. You got to take that game at home, and to have three games where you drop at home in conference play, that's to me inexcusable for a team that's supposed to be a veteran squad, a team that's supposed to, you know, contend for a CUSA championship, a team that's supposed to go far in the CUSA tournament here in Huntsville, Alabama. So to me, that's the disappointing thing. I look at that Liberty game, 76-69, that was just last Saturday. You should have won that game. That's why for the Miners right here through this final stretch, right now they're sixth place. They control their own destiny. Forget standings watching. All, you know, some people were talking on social media about New Mexico State sweeping the weekend. They beat Jacksonville State on Thursday, 61-52. They beat Kennesaw State today, 60-49. For the Miners, they can't look over their shoulder and see what the Aggies are doing. They got to just control what they can control here throughout this final stretch. And hindsight, you should have won those games at home. I mean, to Jacob's point right there. So, Jacob, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. I'll get your thoughts, Sal, here in just a second, and you too, Alberto. But let's go to Kurt. He's been patiently waiting with us on the phone lines, 915-505-6009. That's a telephone number to call in to the program, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Kurt, good evening, good afternoon, man. What's going on, man?
How you doing, guys?
Well, doing well, Kurt. What do you think?
Well, what I think is the frustration is at the boiling point right now with this veteran team who's supposed to be, you know, do a lot more than what they're doing right now. And the substitution patterns with Bynum not playing the second half, is I don't understand what Golden does there. He's been all year long. Rebounds are always the same. They never can hit the boards. It's beyond frustrating. And they're good. The tournament's coming up soon. This team's one and done. What are you going to say about what Coach Golding now within his fourth year and nothing's been done? And so not going anywhere with a veteran team. So it's unacceptable on UTEP standards. I've been going to these games for decades as a season ticket holder. It's just beyond that. Words can't describe that this team has not progressed this year with a veteran team once you guys coming back.
I hear you, man. I hear you, Kurt. Hey, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in on the show. I hear your frustrations. I've got two thoughts on what you had to say there. Number one, the big one right there is talking about UTEP being one and done. I'll just say this. Miners have fared pretty well in the CUSA tournament under Golding over time. I saw somebody on Twitter next comment against this and say, what has Golding really done in the tournament? Going back to his first season, they went 1-1. They beat Old Dominion the first game. They lost to Middle Tennessee in overtime in the second game. Sal Montes knows very well about that overtime loss to Middle Tennessee and what could have been. Second year of Golding was one and done. They bounced out and they bowed out right away in the CUSA tournament. So going into year three, Golding was 1-2 going into the CUSA tournament. But then he beat Liberty and then beat Sam Houston State, lost to Western Kentucky. So to say that this team is bad in the CUSA or, you know, going to be a one-and-done team, I don't think I'm there yet, knowing, Sal, that when it comes to those first-round games in the CUSA tournament, this team kind of throws the kitchen sink at their opponents and they, you know, go all in. I could see them at least I would just be shocked. Yeah. I think that's where I would be if they bow out in the first round, knowing what we know going into the tournament.
I think also, too, going into the tournament, right, we can even flip it on the other side. Hey, if you're one of the hotter teams going into the tournament, it's nice, but more is expected of you. There's more pressure on you in that sense. And if you're one of the teams going into the tournament who, you're not who you once were to start the season or the conference play, I should say, and you haven't been so hot lately, there's not as many eyes on you. The pressure isn't that heavy. So, you could kind of catch somebody by surprise in that regard too. We know that anybody could win any game in the conference tournament. So, if you want to look at it on a positive side, that's one way you could take it. But if you're still holding on to that, hey, 10-33 mantra, they're a veteran team, obviously you're not going to feel good about it. and it may go the way that you expected, just based off of a recent trend. So kind of back to what you were saying, though, you're right. It's basically kitchen sink for this team. I think a lot of teams are going to get that. Every team might do that, actually. They might play every game like it's the conference championship game, just based off of intensity. So we'll see if it's too much to handle for UTEP, or if theirs is going to be too much to handle, because just like UTEP's been having some bad nights, some teams could have some bad nights in the tournament as well.
That's a good point. And it's also a neutral side. It's a road test for all these teams. So you look at road versus home splits going into the conference tournament. And that's what really matters, you know, when it's all said and done. So I'm behind you on that one there, Sal. The other point that I wanted to touch on that Kurt said, and by the way, our telephone number, 915-505-6009 to get into the show. The other point I wanted to touch on that Kurt brought up, no minutes for Ahmad Bynum in the second half, Alberto. That's an interesting decision right there. I'll say this. This is the same player who did not play against New Mexico State when the Miners beat the Aggies on the road. And Ahmad Bynum was not with the team that day. He rejoined the team the next week right after that. It wasn't officially called or deemed a suspension, but, you know, he was away from the team from that period. So for Ahmad Bynum today in this matchup off the bench, he plays 11 minutes. He goes 0 for 5 from the field, including 0 for 3 from beyond the arc. He made a pair of free throws, and that was it. No turnovers in this matchup, but just 11 minutes off the bench when it was all said and done.
Yeah, and it's that lack of minutes in that second half that really drove that drives the fan base crazy, right? You're down a decent amount in what many in the fan base consider to be that best three-point shooter on the team. He's not out there, and that frustrates people. And that reminds me of when Elijah Jones had that great first half and then sees no minutes in the second half. The Miners go on to lose that game, and what do they say? Elijah Jones needs more minutes. So it's definitely the selection of who gets what minutes and when that drives some of the fans crazy, especially when, what do? You lose the games, right? It wouldn't be such a big deal if the Miners didn't play XYZ player but still won the game. No, they're not playing Ahmad Bynum in the second half, and then they lose the game. Yeah, that's going to drive people insane. It doesn't matter who it is, right? You can insert there any player in the second half. Odds are, if he's a player who makes a difference, the fans want to see him play in the second half.
Our telephone number, 915-505-6009, as we continue here on 600 ESPN El Paso. We've got a couple other stats to look at. It wasn't just Bynum, right? It was Baylor Hebb getting the start over Devin Barnes. He logged 12 minutes when it was all said and done. 2 points, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 2 turnovers, and a foul in 12 minutes of action. In the starting effort, his first start of the season, Devin Barnes off the bench struggled. He struggled all road trip, but in this one, 2 points, 18 minutes. He had 2 assists and a rebound. That was it in this game. Corey Camper Jr., you heard from head coach Joe Golding after the game. He's playing hurt right now, apparently, you know, still off the high ankle sprain. I shouldn't say the word apparently. I mean, he's playing hurt right now off the high ankle sprain. He had 7 points in this one, 3 for 9 shooting, 29 minutes in a starting effort, but just doesn't have the juice like he used to. I mean, I just haven't seen Corey Camper Jr. play the way he's had over the last month or so. And maybe that's a big difference too. You know, when you don't have a 100% Corey Camper Jr. Who is starting in this game and who's actually like playing a lot of minutes, that hurts you down the line too. So let's see what happens here as the Miners try to regroup going into their home stretch. Western Kentucky Thursday, Middle Tennessee Saturday. Back to the phones we go. We've got full phone lines, 915-505-6009. Roman is next with us. Then we got Brian and Hunter will follow him. Roman, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, man. How's it going? Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep, we hear you just fine, Roman. Give us your thoughts.
All right, cool. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I know that they can play better than what they've been showing. You know, obviously the defense has to have to work on it. But I think that I hate to talk about the officiating, but oh my God, I didn't see really equal officiating. And if you can agree with me on the point where we can see the officiating being equal at the end of the game, it's only equal because they make it equal at that point where it's critical. Other than that, I mean, I think the Miners could
foul. Can I give you the foul numbers? I give you the foul numbers really quick?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
UTEP with 14 fouls that they were called on today. Jacksonville State was called for 19. UTEP shot 29 free throws. Jacksonville State shot 22.
I saw that we missed a lot of free throws. And I did see that. It's just at the critical time is maybe what I'm kind of getting at. But either way, the defense didn't play as good as they should have. I think that they'll come back, though. So here's my theory is that they'll come back. And we were at a worse, record last year at this point. But we came back and we beat Sam Houston State and we got to the championship game. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for now.
But wouldn't you have hoped for a better year this year in the regular season at least? And they are. They're going to finish out much better in regular season than they did last year. Last year they were 16-15, 7-9 in conference play in the regular season. But going into this year, Roman, I'm just going to push back just a little to say, wouldn't you expect a little bit more out of the regular season this year, knowing that this team, at about a month ago, they had 14 wins, and it looked like they were going to cruise to 20 wins. In fact, when they beat Kennesaw State at home, they were 15-5, and I thought, no doubt about it, they got 20 wins under their belt. Now they're going to have to fight to try to get to 20 wins here, as they've got four games left. They're 17-10 overall.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that I expect a little bit more coming off a really great season last year and then cruising to, a lot of wins this season, cruising to 20 wins. And I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, my God, we're going to have 20 wins like before the season's over, the regular season. And it's not playing out that way, but we know this league, it's a little bit, it's pretty tough. A lot of good teams. I mean, we got to go with what we got to go with. And we got to now put our hopes and prayers on the tournament. So we'll see how it goes.
All right, Roman, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. Good good comments for sure. I just, again, little final pushback that I have to do to Roman here, just saying that this league is good. I mean, right now you have a lot of teams who can beat everybody. Like, that's what it is. It's a very competitive league. I don't know necessarily where I'd put it in the pecking order. Is it better than conferences like the Missouri Valley, Big West, Southern, WAC, Ivy League, Big South? No doubt about it. Are they on the same level as the Mountain West or West Coast Conference? No. Are they on the same level as the A-10 right now? Maybe. And I think that's probably where the bar is at right there. So let's keep it moving. Brian's next with us. Then we got Hunter, and then we got another call to get to. It's David who's going to join us, but first let's go to Brian, who's going to join us next. Brian, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Brian, go ahead, give us your thoughts.
Well, it was certainly a lot to unpack. After going 15-4 to start, I thought we were going to cruise to 20 wins, but unfortunately it's not looking like it, because we're only four games away at this point. And it's honestly a travesty to what's been going on with this team, especially considering the minute problem, because Ahmad Bynum has barely gotten any minutes, and he didn't get any in the second half. So it's this point to watch when you got guys like Baylor Hebb and KJ Thomas get more minutes than him. And don't get me wrong, they can be good in some cases, but in other instances, it's just not looking good at all. I'm worried for how the season may look going forward because of how we've done in the past, where we've closed out bad and things could end up rough for the Miners. I'm still hopeful we could get 20 wins, but I'm not sure how it'll look at this point.
Okay, Brian. Hey, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in on the show with that one. 915-505-6009. Next up, it's Hunter, and then we'll go to David here on the program. Hunter, good evening, man. What's going on?
Not much, man. How you guys doing?
Hunter, we're at the Paddle Club here in Sunland Park, New Mexico. It's beautiful. It's the grand opening tournament weekend. You should join us, man. I think you'd love the sport of paddle.
What is that one like off Appaloosa, or where's that at exactly?
Yeah, it's actually right off Futurity and in that area. You're exactly right. So it's a beautiful outdoor facility. They've got outdoor courts. The tournament's happening all weekend long. They're crowning champs tomorrow. But we're just here for the vibes, and it's been great all weekend long.
How's the crowd, man? I need to go check it out sometime.
The crowd is excellent. There's actually a lot of people out here. People are actually watching the tournament's closed. They've already filled up their registrations, but people are actually just watching it. The sport itself is crazy. It's like tennis mixed with racquetball, but I love it. I've loved how competitive it's been all day, so I appreciate you asking, man. Give us your thoughts on this game.
Oh, man, a couple things. Listening to Golding post-game, I don't know if he's looking at a different game, or does it look different from his perspective? Is he unable to kind of back off and see what's really going on. It's easier for us to see. You know, there's a there's something called the fog of war. And when you're in the middle of a, you know, the intensity, and you're in the middle of it, you don't tend to see it as well. And if you would take a step back and review, you could see a little better. But, you know, he was talking that he had a group of guys that really battled and fought. And, you know, they did this and did that at the end. And so that he's alluding to there's other groups of players that don't. And I know he's meaning Bynum, and he was very frustrated with Bynum's shot selection. But when you've allowed him to shoot whenever and however and, you know, open, not open, all season long, because that's what you do with shooters, how are you going to punish the guy for doing that? I mean, you make no sense. You've allowed that. You've encouraged it. He should be the only one that's allowed to, because he makes a lot of highly contested, not open shots. He's the only one. So when he's been allowed to do that, and he does that and misses, and you bench him, that makes no sense. Just no sense at all. And when he talks about, like, you know, they battled, and how? I want to know how. There was one possession where Jacksonville State, which it's such a joke to even say the name of that team and think that we can't compete with that team. How far have we fallen as a program where we're looking up to a school I'd never heard of 10 years ago? I mean, it's a joke. But there was one possession where Jacksonville State got three possessions in one.
Yes.
You know, I got a couple more points, but I'm going to ask you guys right now. What is one thing the Miners have done well consistently throughout the year? One thing.
Create turnovers, I guess?
No, they didn't do that today, so you can't say consistently. Name a thing.
You're right.
What's
no,
their
there's
identity?
Actually nothing.
There's nothing. They don't have an identity. And basketball doesn't change. I've said this plenty. So the problem is they have to play with superior effort and intensity in order for their wins to come, right? They have to just wear down that other team. That's the only way they can win, is the turnovers and the havoc that they create. And when they don't have that, which right now they don't have any effort, the team's flat-footed, they're not giving it their all. And it doesn't take a genius or anything to see it. When they don't do that, they do so much wrong that they're unable to, that you can't overcome that. And that's what's scary for the upcoming USA tournament. Everybody says, oh, Joe Golding, he's a great tournament coach. We've had more tournament success in his tenure than we have since 2010, you know, so I get it. However, the things that you have to do traditionally in basketball to win games, you have to defend well and not give up layups and dunks. That's a big no on this team. They don't defend one-on-one well. They get blown by very quick. They get lost, and they give up a lot of layups and dunks. It's just that's who they are. Number two, you have to rebound the ball. And they are the worst rebounding team that I can remember here in a long time. Number three, make your free throws. And they're inconsistent at best. You know, sometimes they'll have a game where they only miss one or two, and the next game they shoot near 50%. And it's like a crapshoot. You know, is the ball going to go in or not? You can see it in their body language and their release. That takes practice. Rebounding takes effort. And they have refused to do any of it. So those are the only things that really are troubling going towards the USA tournament, is they don't do the fundamentals. They haven't done them all year. So unless they're clicking on all cylinders, they're going to get beat.
Wow, Hunter. Dropping truth bombs tonight as Lucomotive Miner texts me. Hunter is dropping truth bombs tonight. Couldn't agree with him more. And then while you did this, while you were talking, Hunter, I'm looking on Twitter and X, and then I see Ahmad Bynum. Like, literally as you're talking about him, Ahmad Bynum just tweets the emoji where he doesn't say anything. So it's like, man, you know, you asked the question, and it was funny because I read that when you asked the question, how far has UTEP fallen? And I read that right there, that tweet, and I'm thinking to myself, now you got players tweeting and posting on social media their feelings and stuff like that. Like, this isn't good. Like, and I hang on to some of those words that Golding said at the end, that they've got to fix some things. It's, you know, that they've got to look inward before they can move on, because right now, you're right, there is a cloud that's kind of over them right now, and they can't see what's really wrong, but they've got to take a step back to really assess what is wrong right here and what has been the issue over the last month. And I think it's easy for you and I to agree on inconsistencies across the board, but there might be something more to it. And no, I don't take the excuse of the injuries, or I don't take the excuse of being hurt with certain things, or, you know, players being out or whatever that is, because they've dealt with that for over a month. I mean, Kalu was hurt, and then they still won in back-to-back games at Liberty and at FIU. And so I don't really take those excuses right there, because this is still a quote-unquote veteran squad who came into this season with NCAA title aspirations. So, Hunter, you're getting a lot of love here early on social media, but as I was searching social media, I'm seeing a player is, I guess, not really happy, but not really saying anything, as they have already tweeted out their thoughts.
Man, another thing Golding said at the end, like, oh, you know, I don't think we got that hurt by the rebounding. What game were you watching? You know, it's such a joke, and you said inconsistencies. The consistency, just like parenting or leadership in business or anything else you do, you have to be consistent as the leader. And you have to establish set standards and expectations and hold every single player to those consistently. And if you don't, that's where you get people like Ahmad Bynum not happy, because he has a shorter leash on him than he does with someone like Frazier. And I get Frazier's a more consistent player. I get that he, you know, today he went off. He had a really good game offensively. But at the same token, he frustrates me more than anyone on the defensive end, because he's slow. He plays lazy at times. And he is the worst violator of when the ball goes up, he's standing watching. I would pull him. That would get on my nerves more than Ahmad Bynum's problem, because Ahmad Bynum's mistakes are not of effort. They're of other things. Frazier standing there flat-footed looking inexcusable. If I, you know, you fix that Monday in practice. Next time a ball goes up and I see one player flat-footed, we're all running. And until every single ball that I see goes up is attacked by all five players, we're running. And I guarantee you that problem gets fixed sooner than later.
I hear you, man. I like that. I like that as far as just fixing those little things, because I think they're turning into bigger things, or at least bigger habits. So, Hunter, as always, man, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. A lot of people really like your thoughts here. Trey Politz with a love the call from Hunter comment here on the program as we continue. Let's go to David. He's been patiently hanging with us, and our telephone number, 915-505-6009. If you've been trying to get in on the program, it's been a very busy show here to start things off. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. That's where you can weigh in as well. And then 600ESPNElPaso.com. Or you could come on out and join us here. We're live at Paddle Club, and it is the grand opening tournament weekend here as Minor Talk continues. 1800 Futurity out in Sunland Park. Come on out and join us. Watch some great paddle. The tournament is getting exciting over here. There's a lot of people who are out here right now. It's perfect weather. The lights are starting to come on as well as the sun is going down, and it's a great vibes out here at Paddle Club. So we'll have a chance to catch up with Luis here later on in the program as we continue. But back to the phone lines we go. David is next with us, 915-505-6009. David, good evening, man. What's going on?
Not much, man. Hunter was spot on with dang near everything I was going to say. But my point is rebounding. You've got to go rebound. Back in the day, Johnny Melvin led this team at 6'5", rebounding. Yeah. Rebounding is a want. You've got to want to go get it. And I've been to a lot of games, and I see these guys just standing, watching these other guys jump and get rebounds and not do anything. And it's very frustrating when you've got guys that can do it but don't seem to have the want to do it.
David, I think you sound like an extension of Hunter, because Hunter has talked about this on the program. Rebounding is a want. Rebounding is an effort thing, and I agree completely off of that.
Yep, you got to want to go get it, and it's costing us a lot of possessions.
You know, tonight, I agree with the thought that, you know, I do feel like rebounding, especially the offensive rebounds, right? Jacksonville State gets 14.
We got killed.
The Miners had 12 offensive rebounds on their side, but the, you know, I felt like it was inopportune in the first half in particular when the Miners were beat off of the glass. And the other side to it in the first half specifically, that's where Jacksonville State 23-14. That was the rebound margin. So the Miners kind of picked things up in the second half, but it was a little too late, you know, when it was all
exactly.
said and done.
You can't get down and expect to, okay, let's go rebound now. It doesn't work in college basketball. That just doesn't work. You got to start that from the get-go.
And it's a want thing. I like how you said it that way.
Oh, it's absolutely a want thing.
You know, I've always thought of it as an effort thing, but it is a want thing. David, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for calling in. Any final thoughts here as we wind it up with you and get ready for the home stretch next week?
I just hope they can fix some things. There's a lot going on. And, you know, he talked about leadership after the game. And, you know, somebody's got to step up and somebody's got to do something. It's just crazy to me to watch this team and how they've gone down. Right now you should be peaking. We're going the other way.
Good point, man. Good point. David, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. Sal, I'll let you weigh in. We had a great string of phone calls there from a lot of different people, a lot of different thoughts there. Go ahead. You just weigh in.
No, man, it's easy to tell that, you know, some of those callers too, Adrian, they've been calling all season long, so it's not like they're just flipping on the TV and seeing what they see for the first time. They've noticed a regression of this team. I mean, if you put on a broadcast, you know, let's say the Yale game, and we can even say that was a game that almost got away from them, but, you know, you could put that game on, you could say, hey, you know what, this team is scrappy, they're going to win some of these close games this year, and you fast forward to, let's throw in both Jacksonville State games. Let's throw in both games against Liberty where they split. You could kind of see some of those shortcomings and, you know, see how they could be exploited as well in future meetings. So, no, man, I get it. These guys are frustrated. They expect more, and they expect better than what they've seen because the team has performed to that at times. And it's frustrating because as talented as they are, you see what they could be, but they're just not living up to that potential or even getting near it. I think that's also the sad part is that they're not playing anywhere near the ceiling. They're not even, you know, they might not be at the ceiling, but how far are they from it? And it looks like it's really far right now.
Yeah, at least right now. This last month has been a tough grind for the squad. I totally agree with you there, Sal. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009, as we continue. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Let's read some comments on Twitter. George Guajardo, name a better pair than UTEP men's basketball and scoring droughts. I'll wait. Hashtag Miner Talk. Pinky, Adrian said all the right things at the beginning of the show, so no comment. Picks up. Hashtag Miner Talk. This is Adrian at Enemy Win 3. It looks like Golding has officially lost the team. They are playing with no heart right now. This is coming in from Daniel at the Bridge Under LOL program. Such high expectations but failed to get even more than 20-win season. This whole athletic department is to blame too. Well, don't forget, Daniel, they had 20 or more wins year one of Golding. They're just trying to get back to that point right there. Little Badger, I'm on the boat now. Golding out. We need to change. Hashtag Miner Talk. This is Shannon. The bear has to be rolling in his grave. Shake my head. The plan is there is no plan. Hashtag Miner Talk. Pick my axe 915. Consistent thing about UTEP basketball under Golding. Inconsistency. I'm, for one, tired of it. We need to move on and find someone who can coach and who can recruit. This job can attract much better candidates than Golding. This is true, but I don't see it happening anytime soon. UTEP got into the Mountain West, and Center will take credit for that. Ignore the fact that Mountain West was limited in options. Man, that's, you know, it's just frustrated fans. That's what you're hearing right now. Manny David, this is coming in from him right here on the program. Frustrating loss. Caught some bits and pieces of the game. Poor free throw shooting was, and that definitely didn't help. Most casuals have been done with this team for a while. Going to be a very small crowd for the last two games, but I'll be there as usual. This is our pal Steve Escajeda from Football Friday Night, our pal. Lost weekend. This about sums it up. of the 1 hour and 20 minutes played, opponents Kennesaw State and Jacksonville State led for over an hour and 17 minutes. UTEP led all weekend for 27 seconds. Hashtag Minor Talk. Great stat there by our pal Stevie.
Yeah, great stat by Escarjeta there. And that really just... That's why everyone is so frustrated, right? And rightfully so, is you had such a great off season and you retained so many players, and then you instill in the fan base the importance of returning to what you did last year. And now towards the end of the season, it seems like you're fizzling out and you're having issues, and your offense and your defense are both seem to be slipping. And so, yeah, it's definitely disappointing for the fan base as a whole. And it's clear that that things are just going to get worse if the wins don't come.
Joe Chacon, tough loss for the Miners, who seem to be on their heels going into the end of the season. But on a positive for today, we are all gathered to celebrate my mom's, Agnes's 69th birthday, and still listening to the show. We ride or die Miner fans, hashtag happy birthday. Happy birthday to your mom, Joe Chacon. I appreciate you still listening to the program. I mean, that's some dedication right there. Go enjoy the family. Go enjoy something better right there, man. And no need to listen to us anymore. This is your exit right here on the program. And go enjoy your mom's birthday, man. I appreciate you chiming in on the show. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. Hunter Pennypacker tweets into the program. Terrible, Coach Joe Golding. If you want to fix the rebounding problem, invite me to a couple of practices. Hashtag Minor Talk. This is, we already said this one, but I'll say it again. Trey Pollitt says, good call, Hunter. And then he said, play Bynum more. It's not that hard. This is from Matthew Castro. This team has regressed, still figuring things out with the tourney right around the corner. Based on Golding's comments, looks like there's issues in the locker room. 0.5 minutes for Bynum, question mark. This is also coming in from Edgar Montiel, our pal from Palo Verde Homes. Play Bynum more, with a thinking emoji and a laughing emoji. Okay, good stuff there, man. And yeah, those are all the comments that I'm seeing here on the program as we continue. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Jacksonville State defeated UTEP today 73-65. What we're going to do right now is this. We're going to take a timeout right now. We're going to bring on Luis Baca on the program for the first time. He's going to talk about the grand opening tournament weekend here at Paddle Club. And then we're going to continue and actually wrap this one up. We'll get you our Wind Supply El Paso hot hand of the game here later on, and we'll also talk more here of UTEP and Jacksonville State. If you want to weigh in on the show, now is the time to do it. 915-505-6009. A timeout right now. We'll take it here as we continue, presented by Jack in the Box here, Minor Talk on 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, welcome back. Minor Talk continues. We are live here at Paddle Club as we continue. It's the grand opening tournament weekend. If you want to talk a little UTEP basketball, we're winding things down here on the program. 73-65, that's the finish. Jacksonville State defeats UTEP. 915-505-6009 as we continue. Luis Baca is with us here. He's the founder and owner of Paddle Club here in Sunland Park. We are here for the grand opening tournament weekend. What's up, Luis? What's going on?
What's up? How are you, man?
I'm doing great. This has been so much fun to be out here today. You've had wonderful sponsors who've set up their booths and been out here all day. But more importantly, the competition out here at Paddle Club. What made you decide to bring this sport here to this region, as this is one of the fastest growing sports worldwide, not just here in America, but like worldwide?
Yeah, correct. So it's the fastest growing sport right now in the world. So I'm originally from Chihuahua, Mexico, so it's been big. They have around 10 clubs right now. So I was wondering, what should I do to make El Paso have the kind of fun and fast paced? Let's say it's in between tennis and racquetball, so it's pretty fast-paced. But you can do it in a beginner level or intermediate or pro.
I've seen a lot of people in between matches just try it for the first time. That's a cool thing, is you're completely sold out this weekend for the tournament. You've filled out all your spots. But one of the cool things about being out here is you can just watch some great paddle being played and then pick up the sport as early as next week. You're open here, and you allow people to reserve and book their own courts, whether they're bringing their friend, whether they want to learn for the first time and just want to come out here, whatever it might be.
Yeah, of course. So we do clinics. You can book a court. We have it's an app called Playtomic. So you book a court, you get some friends, and that's it. We had some companies come by, like Lululemon, some guys from solar systems. So it's been fun, like all ages, intermediate level, beginner level, we have everything.
That's awesome stuff, and it's getting really competitive. I was watching some of the matches earlier today. There were some really good competition, but the other cool part of it, Luis, is people have traveled from all sorts of places to come to this tournament and this weekend. That's a really cool thing, too. I was talking to somebody today from Casa Grande, really cool stuff, and I was talking to some other people here from just, you know, other parts of Mexico as well. That's a really cool thing as well, people traveling from all sorts of different places to come and play in this grand opening weekend tournament.
Yeah, it's been a good turnout. People from all around Mexico have been coming. Those guys are pretty good. It goes by categories, and they're almost at pro level. So it's fun to watch, learn some moves, and get into it.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about how people can get involved. So they're listening to this right now. We've been talking about this, you know, for about a week here as far as the grand opening tournament. But how can people get involved? I'm checking out your Instagram right now, and I'm sure this is probably the best way to be involved, Paddle Club EP on Instagram.
Yeah, of course. I think that's the best way to get in touch with us. You can see the base or highlights, have how to book a court, we have some WhatsApp groups, so in case you're wondering, hey, should I join, should I not, we have a cool place in WhatsApp. You can join, get some matches going, meet new people, and learn about the sport. Yeah.
That's another cool part, too, is, you know, I was just talking to somebody out here. There's a lot of different business owners. There's people from all different walks of life who are coming out here. But it's also a social and networking opportunity for people. So whether you're looking to make friends, bring your friends out here, it's a great opportunity to do it. You've got a great facility outdoor. You've got lights out here. And look at everybody out here. They're just having a good time and enjoying the great paddle that's being played.
Yeah, that's what paddle is all about, having fun, meeting new people. Enjoying, maybe getting a little bit competitive, you know, once in a while, but it's pretty fun. It's addicting in my point of view. You guys should try it out, and if you want, just text us through a DM in your Instagram, and we'll get through it.
Okay, now for the hard questions, okay?
All right.
What's next for Paddle Club?
So our future for Paddle Club is making it bigger, more courts, maybe adding some soccer field.
Wow.
So you never know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
so multiple sports.
Yeah, we had some good response and people asking about soccer. There's not much in El Paso, so why not?
Let me pitch you something right now, my friend. Basketball. Pick up basketball courts, and you can have it. I mean, you can turn this whole area. You've got a lot of land out here in Sunland Park. You could turn this whole area into a sports complex. How cool would that be down the line?
Yeah, we're going to have a sport complex pretty much. So people, if you want to play pickleball, paddle, basketball, football, you know?
That would be really cool.
Yeah. That's our goal for the future right now.
Okay, so for people who are listening right here, you're open weeknights, you're open weekdays, you're open weekends.
Yeah.
So whether people are looking to play in the mornings, the early afternoons, the late afternoons, or the evenings, you're open all the way to what, 9 o'clock daily, right?
Yeah, but, well, it depends on the people, but yeah, 9, 10 p.m., it's whenever we close. As soon as the last person wants to go, then we will go with them.
That's awesome. So let's say somebody is working all day. This is a perfect opportunity to play in the evening or vice versa. If you work in the evenings, if you have those evenings and maybe weekends where you're working, well, during the weekdays, during the day, that's a perfect opportunity to come by and try it for yourself.
And get some stress out. Yeah, sure.
I've seen a lot of people out here just try it for the first time too, pick it up. It seems like a sport that where if you practice it and just give it a shot for the first time, you could get a hang of it after a while.
I believe it's a pretty easy sport to learn. If you had some basic, let's say, even ping pong, you're good. Because you know how to follow a ball and hit it. And then if you play tennis, then you're already way at it. People who play racket, squash, I mean, it's a game where you use the walls to bounce it back. So everything helps.
I think it is a little different than pickleball, though. I will say that because I think this is harder than pickleball because the way that you're able to use the glasses is what trips me out when I'm watching this because I'm thinking to myself, your players are so skilled that they know how to use that to their advantage to a big way.
Yeah, that's the way you win a point. If you use the back glasses, then you're good. It takes a little bit to get the hang of the glasses, but once you do, it's another completely game.
That's awesome stuff, man. So we're going to say it one more time for all the people out there. It's the grand opening weekend here, the tournament at Paddle Club. Tomorrow is the championships all day starting at 10 a.m. And it goes all the way to what, 7, 9 p.m.? What are we talking about
the
tomorrow?
The last game, the pro-level game, is going to be at 6 p.m.
That's awesome. So we're going to get a chance to crown champions tomorrow out here. So you're going to get a chance to see high-level paddle being played out here at Paddle Club. So if anybody's in the area, there's going to be booths, there's going to be prizes, raffles, and it's all here at Paddle Club. So for one more time to give our listeners, what's the best way to get involved and to learn more about what you all do?
I would say go to our Instagram, Paddle Club EP. We have a bunch of highlights from lessons, how to book a clinic, WhatsApp groups, everything. So that's the best way to get in touch with us.
Awesome. Luis, you've been great. Thank you for hosting us all day long, and it's been a pleasure
you.
To be out here.
It's been awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. That's Luis Baca joining us here on Minor Talk as we continue here on the program. Great stuff there, Luis. I appreciate it, man. We are winding things down here on the program. Jacksonville State defeats UTEP 73-65 as we continue here on the program. 915-505-6009. We got Benny who's going to join us next. Oh, man. I should have went to this one earlier. Benny, I apologize. Thanks for waiting with us. It's great to hear from you. This is Ben Kaplowitz here on the program as we continue. Ben, I was so dejected after this one right here. Jacksonville State defeats UTEP 73-65. What's the solution to turning things around, in your opinion, for UTEP basketball, Ben?
You know what? Like, I've been out of town, and all I have in my mind after watching these two games is UTEP. What UTEP really needs to do to get these wins is to rebound the basketball. Every single game we're getting out-rebounded, especially on the defensive rebound. We gave Jacksonville 4 or 5 chances. So, like, every possession, if we can get those rebounds, we got a chance to make it all the way to the conference championship and maybe make a run in March Madness.
I'm with you, Ben. I see the peak of this team. I see the heights of this team because you're the minor diehard. You know this team better than most. And I would ask you, Ben, what's been going on over the last month? Is it as easy to say as rebounds, or what's been going on in your opinion that has hurt them over this last month where I felt like they've flipped things around? They were at one point 15-5 and now they're 17-10.
You know what? Totally. And like after beating NMSU, I thought it would turn up. First half of the conference USA, we go 7-5, and now we've lost like three out of our last four. You know, honestly, what we need to do to start winning is rebound, and could it be coaching? Like,
you know, it's one of those things that even Golding took accountability for. So you ask, could it be coaching? I'd say yes, because even Golding held his staff accountable in the previous game against Kennesaw State. The difference, I'd say, Ben, is that, you know, through these last stretch or through this last month, they haven't shot the basketball particularly well. And he talked about that. The 3-point shooting has just been really, really struggling over the last month. And I felt like tonight they just kind of abandoned it at one point. So you talk about the rebounds, that's an issue. I'm talking about the shooting, that's an issue. So these things are just kind of piling up, and you're kind of turning the page on February going into March. That's where you want to be peaking, like you said to start off your call, Ben. March is where it all matters, especially in the CUSA tournament.
Agreed. Another thing we might need is we need some fire. Like, I like Golding, but I also think we need some fire. Like, we got to get some fire into these games. If we put more passion and we play with character and all of that, I think we got a chance. This is the best team we've had in a long time. And I think we got a real good shot at making it all the way.
I'm behind you on that. I'm behind you as far as this being one of the best groups that we've seen over the last, 4 or 5 years. So with you on that completely, Ben. Hey, Ben, you're the man. I appreciate you as always. Let me get one final prediction from you. Next week, where's UTEP? Do they sweep the week? Do they beat both Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee? Do they split next week? Or do they go 0-2? Give us your prediction on what happens next week, their final home stretch of the season.
We are sweeping the next week, for sure. Like, I feel like we're really good at home. We've only lost a couple games at home. Yeah, I think we sweep it. I say we blow both teams out by, like, 20 or 30. We're
okay.
So much better than the teams, especially losing by a couple on the road to them. We can definitely beat them by 30 at home.
Wow. All right, Ben. I appreciate it, man. As always, you the man. I appreciate you giving us a call. Thank you for weighing in on the show, as always. 915-505-6009. That's Ben Kaplowitz, our pal. Sal, he is the UTEP diehard. You could tell right there. That was a great call.
Hey, if everything happens the way he said it, there's going to be a lot more people changing their tune going going into the conference tournament. But, hey, man, you got to love it, right? If you're a diehard fan, obviously you want the best for your team, but you hold on to the good that you see and you know, see what happens from there. But there's no lack of confidence with him. He's just, let's just turn the dial up a bit more. It's not that there's nothing left. It's not that there's no volume left, no song left. You just got to turn the volume up a bit.
I like it. The other part to it is I would disagree it's a 30-point win, but I would agree that the Miners sweep next week. I mean, and again, I have my expectations, and I'm not wavering from them. So people might roll their eyes when I say this kind of stuff, saying, oh, you know, how could you say that? Miners have lost 6 of their last 9. You know, how could you go out and predict that the Miners are going to go home and just easily sweep teams that they lost to earlier in the year? Well, I'm coming from a perspective of this is the standard. You got to win at home. So this is almost like a must, in my opinion. Even KenPom has them winning both of these games at home next week. So Thursday against Western Kentucky, Saturday against Middle Tennessee. That's what's ahead here for the Miners as they continue. And then their final road series is at Sam Houston State, a beatable team, at Louisiana Tech, a beatable team. These final 2 weeks are so important for UTEP basketball. These are the weeks where if they needed to ever turn things around, it's these 2 weeks right here. What did they do last year? They had a lackluster year all the way to the final 2 weeks of the season. And then they reeled off 3 straight. They beat Jacksonville State, Liberty, and FIU to close out the regular season. This basketball squad at one point last year was 13-15 and 4-9 in Conference USA play. They improved that to finish out 16-15, just over 500 in the regular season, and then they finished out 7-9 in CUSA play. Again, last year I felt like was a bit of a disappointment in the regular season, but they proved and they turned everything around in the CUSA tournament, which is all that matters and is all that you're really judged on when it's all said and done. This time around, they have a similar opportunity that is in front of them. They have a home stretch against Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee next week, and again, the road swing against the Bearcats and the Bulldogs. Those are winnable games, Sal. I can't tell you. I mean, look, all these games, I think it's easy to say all these games are winnable and they can lose each one very easily, just the way CUSA is shaking out. But if I'm UTEP and I'm this coaching staff and I'm a player on this team, I'm looking at these 2 weeks as a great opportunity to turn things around a bit and get ready for the CUSA championship when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and a good reason could be that standings-wise, you have at the very least the tiebreaker above everybody but one, that being Middle Tennessee. So you're right, man. We've seen them hang with the best of them, and we've seen them hang with the worst of them. They're kind of in that spot where, you know, they're not going up or down in the standings. They're right at 7-7. So it's going to be really interesting, Adrian. I look at these final four games, and I mean, they're coin flips, every single one of them. That being from the team who's ahead of them in the standings, Middle Tennessee, I could feel the same way about them that I would about Sam Houston in terms of I wouldn't be surprised if they win. I wouldn't be surprised if they lose. That could be what it comes down to. So Sam Houston played a lot better, just as La Tech is. We know that Middle Tennessee has been solid pretty much all year in Conference USA. But Western Kentucky, one of the sleepier teams in Conference USA. If they wake up, it could be a problem. But realistically, Adrian, that might be their best chance at a win.
Yeah, it might actually be. You're right, because this is a team that, I mean, on paper, that might be your get-right game, right? You beat Western Kentucky and then try to get that to make that catapult you for the final stretch. Because, you know, that Middle Tennessee game, the Sam Houston State game, the La Tech game, those aren't going to be winnable unless you ignite yourself in a certain way. And I think it's, like you said, it's starting off with Western Kentucky. It's trying to beat this team that, you know, is beatable up to this point right now. They're 14-12. They're a group, like you mentioned, who's dropped the last 4. And so this is a great opportunity here if you're the Miners looking at this matchup against the Hilltoppers next Thursday. But let's go to our Wind Supply El Paso hot hand of the game. Big shout out to Wind Supply El Paso. It's starting to get warm in El Paso. I mean, today was just a beautiful day. But, hey, temperatures are changing here in El Paso. Check out Wind Supply El Paso. Paso for all your air conditioning needs, whether it's a whether it's Champion dealers, whether it's Mastercool dealers. Visit them online. It's windsupplyelpaso.com. Big shout out to Wind Supply El Paso. You can also give them a call, 915-859-3817 for Wind Supply El Paso. Our hot hand of the game from this one is Otis Frazier III, who had his career high 25 points, 8 of 14 shooting, 10 rebounds. So he posted another double-double on the season, and he totaled 5 steals. Sal, is it fair to say that he was flirting with a triple-double, knowing that he had 5 steals in this one, and he was 25, 10 rebounds, and 5 steals? I mean, pretty nice stat line for Otis Frazier III, who struggled Thursday. I don't think he would shy away from saying
big
that,
time
or he
struggle.
Would. He yeah. would. Yeah, he would. He would discredit that right there. He bounced back in a big way today.
No, he definitely did. You would have loved to see this, you know, translate to a win, but just in terms of individual play, it's night and day, man. And I don't want to say this exact stat line is what you would expect from Frazier. We know that he's capable of it, as he showed today, but just the effort, man, that's what you really want every single day. He's one of the leaders on this team, and this is expected from him, you know, just in terms of showing up for the game. Not asking him to go out there and get 25 every night, you know, a damn near triple-double every night, but be a factor in the game. And he was not the last game, he was today. So, nah, man, it's not far-fetched to say that he flirted with it, man.
Definitely. Otis Frazier III, hot hand of the game from this one. As we continue and start to wind things down here on Minor Talk, 915-505-6009, our telephone number. Been a great show out here at Paddle Club. Check it out here, 1800 Futurity Drive. We'll be out here tomorrow as well for the big championship finale weekend. And then, of course, next week we'll be back at the District West, 3233 North Mesa for Minor Talk ahead of the Western Kentucky game. We'll have some giveaways from that one as well. And we'll have some tickets, especially as we continue here for that one. But Sal, as we turn the page, any final thoughts? I mean, today was as about as tough a game for the Miners as you could ask for in the second game of a home swing. And, you know, for the first time all season, the Miners have lost 3 in a row.
I mean, in all honesty, I think this game, in terms of how it flowed, I don't know if it's what we expected, but them losing is pretty much what a lot of people expected. It's Jacksonville State, a team that's number one in the conference for a reason, so I'm not too surprised that they lost. But going into the Final Four, it's crucial that that you end the season on the right note, playing some of your best basketball, as you're going to need it in the most important part of the year. We talked all year about how the regular season doesn't really matter too much. And who knows, a team can get hot in the tournament and none of it's going to matter at all. But you do want to feel better about going into it. This is your chance to do it. This is your chance to right some of the wrongs and become more of a power where these games matter most.
Jack in the Box is the perfect place to go before and after every game. Check them out. They've got 15 locations between El Paso and Las Cruces. That's Jack in the Box, open 365, 24/7 here on Minor Talk as we continue. Guys, that's going to do it for us here on the program, here on the show today. Special thanks to Alberto Retta. Special thanks to Sal Montes, producing the whole show, screening the calls, and putting up the podcast as well. Special thanks to Paddle Club for hosting us out here in Sunland Park. It's been a great day of paddle, and it's just getting started. I mean, tomorrow is a championship finale, so come on down, join us. We've got some free stickers that we're going to be handing out. We got Monster Jam tickets, UTEP basketball tickets. That's all coming up tomorrow. But for all of us at 600 ESPN El Paso, we're signing off, saying so long. Thanks for listening to Minor Talk, presented by Jack in the Box. We'll be back in action next week, and for the final four stretch here, four games. It's Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee, Sam Houston State, and La Tech. Those are the final four games here for UTEP men's basketball on the season. Special thanks to all our listeners here on the program. You missed any of the show, check us out on demand wherever you listen to podcasts. But that'll do it for us here on Minor Talk. That'll do it for us here on the show as you're listening to 600 ESPN El Paso.